There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Happy to have you with us on this, the eve of week 8. I'm Wendy Nix, Josina Anderson, Victor Cruz, and Rob Ninkovich. Also joining us, as he does every Thursday, is Steve Young. There have been a number of notable quarterback injuries this season. Several, however, appear to be eyeing a return. Nick Foles and Cam Newton have been back at practice at times during the week, while Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees are hoping to play this week. On the other hand, though, Matt Ryan has yet to practice. That's due to a sprained ankle he suffered during the Rams game. As for Patrick Mahomes, he was spotted at practice on Wednesday and again today, less than a week after dislocating his kneecap. He's apparently looked good enough that his head coach is not willing to put an exact timetable on his return, or even, though, to completely rule him out for Sunday. If you're the Chiefs, do you take a chance with this? Rob, do you let Patrick Mahomes play on Sunday?
No.
Okay, you're mad. That's an answer.
Why would we do that? No. Come on.
Pump the brakes
a little bit. Let's have a little bit more time to heal and some of the ligaments to get a little tighter again. I know when you have those injuries, you never know when they could happen again as far as having another dislocation. So just pump the brakes. They're going to be okay.
Well, what was interesting, Stefania Bell joined us yesterday, and although she did caveat it with that everybody's different and things you just never know, the reoccurrence rate for this particular injury is 30 to 70%. That's a big range, but those numbers to me anyway, guys, were a little bit eye-opening simply because the last thing you need is for this to not only linger but push into the latter half of the season or, heaven forbid, the postseason.
Well, the kneecap, the bone, the ligaments surrounding the knee, everything has to do with the stability of the knee. And even though he might be feeling good in practice, I mean, obviously, football is a contact sport. You're moving at max speeds. You don't want to have anything happen where he has to go suddenly left or right that compromises the integrity of that knee. But what I do think is positive about him being at practice is that it lifts the spirits of everyone else around him. To see him in such a positive state of emotions, to see him still present, I think helps with the collective spirit of the team, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he can't play this week. I mean, regardless of how he feels or if he's feeling good, if he's moving around well, I think when the bullets are live, so to speak, you don't know what's going to happen. And you don't want him to break out of the pocket and dislocate that kneecap again, or maybe something worse, tear some more ligaments in that knee. You want to make sure you're treating this the right way, making sure that he's healing properly before you even think about putting him back out onto that field, because he means that much to that organization and to that football team.
Well, he sure does. And my concern, JoJo, would be protecting him from himself. Let's say he goes out there and says, you know, I'll take it easy or I'll be careful. Those competitive juices kick in and he feels okay for a hot minute. And then the next thing you know, you've got bigger problems.
Well, I just feel like in my time of covering the National Football League that sometimes I feel like teams don't take the term active rest seriously enough. So even though you're just doing individual drills and you're not doing the team period, sometimes I feel like walking around, just even doing that little bit of warm-up or pre-practice routine, sometimes it's too much. And I actually think, Victor, you can attest to this a little bit when you had your calf injury with the Giants. And I remember watching you sometimes. You were still doing the individual drills, and they kept saying, oh, it's just a calf or just a calf. And then it progressed to something more, even though this is completely two different injuries. But sometimes I feel like with anything like this, especially at a position that is so critical, like full-on rest can only be beneficial.
And as a player, you know what it feels like. You're out there, even if it's just individual drills, whether it's just, you know, you're working with the receivers, you know how it feels. You know if it hurts. You know if you're pushing it. You know if it's something that can linger longer. You know if you can play that Sunday. You know all these things. You feel it when you're out there on the football field. And I think Patrick Mahomes has to be honest about the way he's feeling in terms of just his overall health now. And definitely going forward.
It just doesn't seem like the risk is worth the reward in this particular instance.
Oh, it's not even close.
I would agree. New Orleans Saints coach Sean Payton said he might wait until Sunday to name his starting quarterback. But Drew Brees has other ideas. He intends to make that decision easy for Coach Payton. He has been back at practice this week following thumb surgery about 5 weeks ago and had this to say regarding his status for Sunday against the Cardinals.
Are you going to play this week?
That's the plan. We'll see. I'll tell Sean if I'm ready, and he'll believe me. But, man, I got to get into practice and get some live reps, you know. I just need some competition.
Do you feel like you're 100% now? I mean, or is that fair to say, throwing the ball?
Forget me.
This one just baffles me. Here's the thing. The Saints are at home this week against the Cardinals. No disrespect. Then they have a bye week. It just seems so silly to me at this juncture to have Drew Brees back out there when Teddy Bridgewater has stepped in, and this team has not missed a beat.
Yeah, well, let's be clear, Wendy. Every game counts in the National Football
Correct.
League. We understand
does.
That. But I do agree with you. I don't think they need to necessarily.
But no disrespect.
like my kids, they say no offense, and they think they can say whatever they want to. No offense, but you're
all. You got to have the disclaimer. That's what it's all about.
I feel way better.
But I do feel like, similar to Mahomes, I know it's a different injury, and obviously Mahomes is a lower body injury. But you still have to take your time. You still have to treat this week to week, day to day almost, and make sure that, again, Drew has to see some live action, has to see some guys running around him during practice, has to have some bodies around him while he's throwing the football so he has that confidence while he's out there. And another thing is, what does that ball look like when it's leaving his hands? What does that trajectory look like? Is it getting to the receivers with that speed and that accuracy that we know he has? That's what you're looking for throughout the week in practice. But I think they shouldn't necessarily put him out there this week, given the bye week coming up and given all that added rest that's in the near future.
Well, you know what? So often your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. And clearly he's a competitor and it's his job and he wants to be out there. All that's understandable, JoJo. But again, sometimes as the folks at the top, you have to make a decision that's for the greater good. And that might be holding him out.
Well, even as great as Drew Brees is, it still has to be a little bit hard as an individual competitor to see how well this team is doing in his absence. Of course, he loves their collective success, but at the same time, all of you are individuals in your own right, too. And I kind of liken it, or I feel like it's akin to what we heard Andrew Luck say when he was watching Jacoby Brissett. And clearly, we know that Andrew Luck loves the Colts and loves them collectively, but he admitted that it was hard at times, even for him, as great as a sportsman as he is. So you're right. You have to separate those feelings from wanting to come back. And one thing that you didn't hear Drew Brees say that he did say as a part of those comments was that he needs to monitor his grip, even though it is the plan for him to come and play throughout the week, to still make sure that there's nothing that tightens up or adjusts how he feels about it being the plan for him to start.
Minka?
Yeah, and the head coach has to do what's best for the team. And as a player, sometimes you might have a false sense of confidence, like, I'm feeling pretty good. My thumb feels great. I can do this in practice. These guys aren't really
okay,
hitting me.
Pain? But I feel okay.
Yeah, I got exactly. You know, Advil feels great. Anyway, but as they're running past you, you're not getting hit. And look, he might run out of the pocket and have somebody trip him up from behind and both hands go down to the turf, and they are playing on turf. So maybe your hand hits the ground the wrong way, and they could have 2 weeks here, possibly, with the bye week to have – 2 more weeks. They're going to practice in the bye week. Go over, have some guys running around them. Maybe put them on the practice side of things and have them run cards and have guys run past them and, you know, smack them on the butt. Like, hey, you're sacked. Mm-hmm. So it's tough as a competitor. You heard him say, I want to compete. Mm-hmm. And as a player, you want to go play. You see all your teammates playing. They're, you know, riding high on all the wins.
Exactly.
But on the flip side of that, when he has that discussion with Sean Payton, Sean Payton's going to say, look, I have to do what's best for the long term of this team and not necessarily, you know, come back versus Arizona. We have the bye week. So I would like to see him take 1 more week of rest so he has the bye week and then, okay, 2 more weeks of practice, have him practice 2 more weeks, throwing the football, getting stronger. Mm-hmm. But it's Drew Brees. So if Drew yep. Brees walks up to Sean Payton and says, guess what? I'm playing. I don't know if
but
he's going to say
what? They're out there. Not well, let's out there.
But let's even be more definitive. Like, and I know what you were intimating at when you said no disrespect, but let's just be definitive. There is no way. There is no way that Drew Brees should play this week. It is not necessary. It is not necessary. And you bring up a good point that something can happen, not just by how it feels, but when a player is protecting himself when he's falling so that if he has to hold his thumb in some awkward way to catch himself, and then now you prolong it. And that would definitely not be worth it, because as good as Teddy Bridgewater is playing, I'm sure they still would like to lean on the experience of Drew Brees in the postseason.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. And you're right. There's no reason to sit the fence here. He should not play. Yeah. It's always interesting, right, the tipping point, when that timing happens. Mm-hmm. You can't force it. You just don't know, and sort of it tipped. Now, on the opposite side, you got Case Keenum and this Redskins offense. Facing a defense led by Mike Zimmer, really. Yep. And that's the calling card. Strong up front. What are they up against tonight?
Well, it's the defensive ends. And when you have a 4-3 defense, you have to be able to get after the quarterback. And having great defensive end play is what the Vikings have. So when you have both defensive ends playing at a high level and they're leading their team in sacks, both the ends, they're 1 and 2. They have to continue to do that. And if they can do that, that's when you have a great 4-3 system. The secondary is doing their job. The front does their job. That's the great marriage.
That looked pretty good, Rob. You played defense before?
Well, yeah. He knows football.
That was pretty
34,
good.
34, 4-3, 5-2, whatever.
I'm done. Here we go.
Get a room.
Listen, let me ask you this, because it's easy to talk about Kirk Cousins, you know, facing the Redskins, but Adrian Peterson back in Minnesota, I know it's not the first time. But even so, I bet there's still some emotions in play.
Oh, yeah. I talked to him a couple of days ago. He said he was looking forward to it. Obviously, not the first time that he's been back at U.S. Bank, you know, just as going back to the place where he used to play. But I think the big thing for Adrian Peterson is that he is going to play in this game, despite the fact that he has a high ankle sprain that is grade 1 and the low ankle sprain is grade 2. So he's still dealing with some pain there. But the good news for him is that he's receiving more reps and snaps under new interim head coach Bill Callahan. That's gone up in the 20s, whereas before that it was, you know, averaging in the single digits. One game he didn't even barely get in there, so he's seeing that. And they know that this basic game is like a must win for them in terms of trying to get any traction, particularly under the new tenure. And I know that Peterson feels bad for having that fumble towards the end of the game against the 49ers, where they feel like they had an opportunity to tie that game. So also wants to make up for that mistake.
You know, it's funny because Dan Orlovsky was here yesterday and said, do not buy, you know, no matter what anybody tells you, you know, when you're playing a former team, especially if it didn't end perfectly on your terms. You know,
he said,
I don't care. Tell me about it because I know you've done it.
I mean, I think every time we played the Saints, I had them circled.
So really
in 2009, they released me as the long snapper, and then I made the team as a Patriot, as a linebacker. They played in New Orleans, and I had torn my MCL 2 weeks prior against the Colts. And I probably should have been out like 3 weeks, but I was like, nope, just 1 week. I'm coming back. I'm putting the brakes on. We won't talk about the results of that game because they beat us up really good. But then when we played them again and we came back at the end, I remember the Saints game at Gillette where they're celebrating over the interception and then we won. That game I circled too. So anytime we played the Saints, I had to make sure that Sean Payton knew that I was coming.
Absolutely, I would think especially.
But I love Sean Payton.
Of course, yeah.
But when you play against you do.
Now that it's time, play against somebody.
No need to clean up there.
We know that.
You gotta get after him now.
Kirk Cousins is a different kind of dude. You know, he's pretty level usually, but I would think tonight that there'll be a little extra juice.
Absolutely.
Given the way things were with the Redskins, and it was just clear they didn't want to sign up for the long
term. When you're playing under 3 straight tags and never got that long-term extension, although you parlayed that into guaranteed money and the only player to have everything absolutely guaranteed, I think he made out okay. Can buy a couple of t-shirts.
I was going to say. I'm not going to think about his next burger.
After the game, you like that.
He's trying to put up 100 touchdowns tonight if he could.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's the way it goes. We can't talk about it enough because there are some marquee names on this list, some key quarterbacks that have been lost to injury. Nick Foles and Cam Newton have been back at practice. Patrick Mahomes and Drew Brees, both possible, though not probable, to play this week. On the other hand, Matt Ryan has yet to practice due to a sprained ankle he suffered during the Rams game.
Fourth down, less than a yard, and Mahomes sneaks it, and somebody better guard that ankle. Mahomes may be hurt.
We'll wait till we get back to give you a further evaluation on it. He's in a good place. I mean, he was in a good place on the field.
When the MVP go down, everybody got to step it up, and we did that.
It was less than a week ago on Thursday night that Patrick Mahomes dislocated his kneecap. It looked terrible. Since then, the news has been relatively positive, and Mahomes has been at practice this week. Today, for the second straight day, and he has not been ruled out for Sunday. Meanwhile, Sean Payton said he may wait until Sunday to name his starting quarterback, but Drew Brees is hoping to make that an easy decision. He has been back at practice this week following thumb surgery about 5 weeks ago and provided a demonstration on how the injury could affect him gripping the football.
If you grip a baseball, right, you're here, right? Even if you grip a basketball, you're just kind of dribbling. Maybe you're going to palm it every now and then, but to shoot, you know, it's really on your fingertips. Football is the one where you really have to extend your thumb all the way around into you know, a pretty large angle. I mean, look at the spread between pinky and thumb. You know, that's That's hard to do, and then to provide the type of pressure that's needed with that thumb to then transfer all that energy that you bring from ground force and torque with your body to translate that energy into the ball, right? And so that was probably the hardest part, was just getting it to where I could grip the ball again and grip it with authority, you know, grip it with strength, and then be able to guide the ball, maneuver the ball out of my hand.
That was such a Drew Brees explanation, right? Never there's been more thorough demonstration of what he's talking about. But that thumb surgery was September 18th. Again, it's the Cardinals and then a bye week. You know, when you see that, what goes through your mind?
Well, I think he's just going through or explaining, you know, the levels of what he had to go through in his rehabilitation process, right? He went through, like, gripping it. I remember when it first happened, they show him trying to grip a ball on the sideline. He just dropped it immediately. It was so tender, and it was, you know, tough for him to even grip a football. And now I assume he's gripping the football. He's able to throw the football better. And now the last leg of it is in practice. Can he manipulate that football, like he said, to throw it with accuracy to the right guys down the field, you know, 40, 50, 60 yards down the field? Can he do that consistently with that thumb?
Well, to be continued, but he wants to play. We'll see. Cam Newton won't play, but he is back at practice in Carolina this week, albeit in a limited fashion. He has been dealing with a foot injury. He practiced on Tuesday and then not Wednesday or today, although even on Tuesday, he did the bulk of his work on the sideline with trainers. New on NFL Live from our Panthers reporter, David Newton, Ron Rivera left the door open on whether Cam will travel with the team to San Francisco, saying, "You will know tomorrow." But since Newton has not practiced, he will not be active. However, it is a first step toward a return. The question isn't this week. We know that they got ahead of that quickly early in the week and said, look, Kyle Allen is the guy. But when Cam Newton is cleared to play, and eventually that will happen, who should start in Carolina? Kyle Allen.
Why are you turning that?
I want to start with Robin.
Everybody can weigh in here.
I'm saying that Cam Newton should be the guy when he is healthy, because you have to know, a healthy Cam Newton, what do we have right now? What do we have? You can't just say, okay, he's back, he's going to sit on the bench the rest of the year, and that's it. We gave up on him. The guy has proven that he's a top talent in the NFL, top quarterback in the NFL, when healthy. He's been dealing with a foot injury since preseason. Playing through pain. Hasn't played particularly well. So now, okay, you're healthy. No excuses.
You know who is playing?
You got a half.
You know who is playing well, Rob?
Yeah, with jobs on the line.
You know who hasn't thrown an interception in the four games he's played, Rob? Mm. You know who has a 65% completion percentage, Rob? You know who's undefeated in those four games that they've played? You know who's got the overall energy of the team? I'm sure they feel good.
Who
they're winning.
Yeah.
His name's Kyle Allen, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Kyle Allen, and he has this team playing well. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey's a huge part of their success as well. He's been playing pretty much lights out, in my opinion. But Kyle Allen has been out there efficient. He's been throwing the ball to everybody, and he hasn't turned the ball over, which is the biggest thing, which is the biggest key when you look at a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And he's out there playing the best brand of football at the quarterback position for the Panthers right now. You don't mess with that juju. You don't mess with that energy, especially if it's positive. You want to keep riding that wave until that wave crashes.
Well, let's be clear. Also, there's another layer here to this, and that is there's a new ownership group. David Tepper came in. Ron Rivera, you know, they haven't made the playoffs in a couple seasons. His job is on the line as well. And so you talk about we need to see what we've got. I think there's some truth to that. But Ron Rivera needs to know if he'll be around as well. And right now, Kyle Allen has his team winning ball games.
All that sounds great, Wendy, but hold on. We're going to have to throw an encroachment, okay? We're going to have to encroach on that opinion. You know why? Because we've just listened to Drew Brees talk about his grip and all these other things as to why he might possibly come back. Okay. And at one point did we hear you say, because Teddy Bridgewater.
I can tell you why.
Because Teddy Bridgewater has been playing so well, hasn't lost all these things, all these lovely butterfly stats that you just brought out for Kyle Allen. Mm-hmm. Where was that for Teddy Bridgewater?
Well, because at the time of their departures, at the time of their injuries,
what he says.
They were playing a different brand. Drew Brees was playing lights out. He was playing the way we know Drew Brees can play. Mm-hmm. When Cam Newton got injured, he was struggling. The team was 0-2. He wasn't playing well.
Because Cam was hurt. and he was playing through pain. And per
that doesn't
what
matter.
Rob,
I mean, you're on the field.
Per what Rob
if you're out there on the
said,
field, you have to perform hurt or not hurt. You're out there. You're under center. Mm-hmm. You're calling the shots. You have to perform, whether it's hurt or not hurt. If you're hurt, sideline's right
Rob,
over there.
Rob, give me a fullback here. Give me a fullback here.
Well, I think to me that's a distinction,
I'm for the argument.
Look. Okay, so Drew Brees goes out there and he goes a little bit early. He doesn't play well. Do you pull him out and you put Teddy right in right
Not
away?
Not at all. Drew Brees has earned the right to stay out there because prior to his
so
departure,
Cam hasn't earned the right to get back on the field?
Given what he's put out there on the field prior to Kyle Allen starting, no. Kyle Allen's been out there 4-0.
That's when he was hurt. He was playing through pain. This is
but
a
he was off. Still playing. Okay. Everybody's playing. The entire NFL is playing through pain.
If I was the GM, I would have a sit down, say, Kyle, you've played really well for us. We're just going to get
yeah, appreciate it. You're going 4-0. You don't have to throw an interception.
Circle
but we're
going to
get Cam in there now.
Put Cam in there for a half.
I mean, look
pick,
at this.
Take him out.
Look at this. Eight-game losing
put him
streak.
In for a half?
And this guy
look
has
this.
Won five. I mean, it, this right. is the break.
But one guy has taken you to the Super Bowl, and you wouldn't even have
what
that table set.
What have you done for me lately,
Jordan?
You used to play in the NFL.
This is like not even a discussion.
What have you done for me lately? What have you done, especially at that quarterback position?
Okay,
it's different
so
in other positions.
Here's the determining question.
Okay.
If Kyle Allen, okay, goes to San Francisco and loses, does that change your whole analysis here? Does that... What has he done for me lately?
Play?
Is it what have you done
how
for me
does
lately?
How does he play? Does he throw three picks and does he look terrible? Or does he throw
right.
for 280,
and
300 yards
forbid,
and then they
an
lose, they end up
team.
Losing
okay.
the game?
And
so
then,
let's
what,
say he
what,
goes out there
and
is undefeated and
it's like a... I'm sorry.
The 49ers?
Ahead.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I said, heaven forbid, though, he goes out there and beats an undefeated team.
If they
and
do that, Wendy, I'll be sitting back here.
And he beat
I'll put my leg up. I'll be so comfortable.
That's a bigger question,
I'll be letting
right?
it rain
oh,
in
really?
Here. Are
okay.
you kidding me?
And
look,
likewise, if it doesn't, we will be on you, too.
I will say this. This is a – you'd rather have to make this decision. You'd
yes.
rather have this team in a position where they have balled mm-hmm. for the last 5 weeks than to be in a point where you're like, for heaven's sake, get Cam back out here. So it's a good problem per se to have, but they do have a decision to make.
And it's interesting because obviously New Orleans and Carolina, same division, both quarterback, not issues, I guess, per se, but it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, who wins that division and what goes on during the playoff run.
All right, Bridgewater, you know, Cam Newton, Rob Ninkovich, we're trying. I mean,
that's similar
okay.
Saints
see,
and
right.
Carolina,
listen,
though. They both.
The Panthers, as I mentioned, will have to choose eventually, assuming Cam gets healthy, which he will. Mm. Cam is 0-2 this season as a starter, currently riding an 8-game losing streak. We showed it to you. Kyle Allen is yet to lose a game as a starter, but let's see what happens. You know what? We'll give it a week. How about that? We'll give
it
Sunday on the West Coast.
I'm sure we will.
We'll take a look at the Modelo Gold Standard stat. In the last 3 weeks, the Vikings and Packers have separated themselves in the NFC North. The Vikings are averaging 36 points per game, which is tops in the league. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers rank fifth. Kirk Cousins, of course, has just been playing lights out the past few weeks. That brings us to this, cruise control. And you know that Victor's in the driving seat. He keeps getting, you get like spiffier every week, I feel
I
like.
I got new rims this week.
We got something new every week.
Gosh.
Listen, we're going to stay in the NFC North, okay? Two roads diverged, if you
go.
Will. The team to beat. Vikings, Packers, which way you headed?
Look, both of these teams are extremely talented, led by two really good quarterbacks. Obviously, one who I feel like is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. But if I had to choose one, since you're making me pick, I got my cheese head here, Rob. They got a cheese head for me. I'm going with Aaron Rodgers in the green.
You can't drive
on his head.
Okay,
let's get it all the way. There it is.
There it is.
Wow.
I'm going with the Green Bay Packers, mainly because of that man right there, number 12. Aaron Rodgers has just been, I think he's found his swagger with this team. I think he understands where the playmakers are, and he's just been dropping dimes left and right. As you can see in this footage, he's throwing the ball wherever he needs to. Everybody's responding to him, and that offense is really, really clicking right now.
It must be nice to be able to put the ball wherever you want it. Just get open, do what you're supposed to do, and
back
I will
foot,
drop
Wendy,
it in.
It doesn't even
just
matter.
Doesn't
he's
matter.
Just,
I mean,
he's slinging
a little respect to Kirk Cousins.
No, respect Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
I understand. Thielen being out is going to be a little bit of a concern. They're going to be able to key in on Stephon Diggs a little bit more. But I think Kirk Cousins understands how to play the game of football as well and play quarterback, and he'll find ways to win. But I just think Green Bay has the little bit more leverage in the division.
Mm. All right. As for last year's NFC North winner, I hate to call it the disappointment bowl, but that's sort of what we got, because this is not what we expected from these two teams.
Not at all.
The Bears and the Chargers, and who's more likely to turn it around on Sunday? We'll just start week one.
Well, we'll start one week at a time. But if I had to pick one, obviously I do here. I got They got me a bear this time.
A little bear.
A little bear.
No one loves his own emojis more than Beckham.
Might as well throw it on his head, too.
That's a cute bear.
Let's put the bear back on there.
Let's just do that. So I'm going with the Chicago Bears, especially this week. They're playing at home. That defense will feel inspired, playing in Soldier Field. They understand that their backs are against the wall. They're 3-3. They don't feel like they're playing at the level that they're accustomed to, especially coming off of last year. Mitchell Trubisky hasn't been the same guy that we've been seeing. But I think this week against the Chargers, who also have been, you know, not playing up to their expectations this year, I think that defense of the Chicago Bears comes through and gets a much-needed win at home against the Chargers.
Given the time frame and his age, you hate to see this for Phillip Rivers, really, because, you know, how closed that window is becoming, I don't know, but it is definitely closing, and they just have not looked like a total team.
It's just, it's crazy to think that last year they were in the playoffs, and this year they're fumbling on the 1 yard line to win the game, and they fumble, they lose. Like, they just seems like everything's going the wrong way for them. And, you know, you start to feel bad for quarterbacks at the end of their career when they know I only have a couple shots left, and they kind of go a 180 on where they were last year.
But especially last year when they, you know, we were picking this team to potentially win the Super Bowl, right?
Like, they were there.
Exactly. And this year it just hasn't been the same level of production.
All right, we got to go. We got some more miles.
I just want to say, with Melvin Gordon fumbling, I feel like they're going to be motivated the way that ended and do better this week.
Okay,
here we go. Emmanuel Sanders, he's been traded. Happened this week. The Niners traded a 2020 fourth round pick and a 2020 third round pick, I should say, to land Emmanuel Sanders. The 49ers receptions, the 49 of his receptions by wide receivers are the fewest in the NFL. Here is Emmanuel Sanders on the move.
It feels good. You know, obviously, I got a lot of love for the Broncos. In 6 years there, won a Super Bowl there. And, you know, I love that organization. But, you know, to be a 49er, it's like new energy and new environment. It reminds me when I left the Steelers and went to the Broncos. You know, I needed a change of scenery. And I'm just trying to come and bring even more positive energy and bring, you know, another spark to this offense.
Well, he's not the only new face in a new place. How about this? Mohamed Sanu went to New England. The Patriots got some receiver help. The Falcons receive a 2020 second-round pick. Sanu's 77 catch percent is sixth in the NFL. And here is Bill Belichick on the decision to trade for Sanu.
The transaction on the trade for Sanu, what traits does he have that seeing how he fits here?
Yeah, he's a very experienced receiver, he's had a lot of production. Excited to have him, see how it goes,
Have you had much background with him, whether it was meeting with him, coming out of Rutgers?
Or... Yeah, we go way back.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we saw everybody at Rutgers.
Here's the thing. There's death, taxes, and Bill Belichick's facial expressions. They're consistent.
I could barely make any of that out.
Doesn't matter. Just same. We have a decision to make, though. Mohamed Sanu or Emmanuel Sanders in terms of who will make a bigger impact with their new team.
Okay, let me start by saying I love both of these guys as receivers. I know both of them personally. Both of these guys are tremendous, tremendous athletes. But you're making me pick one here, Wendy.
Yes, I'm afraid that's the point.
And I'm going with my guy, Mohamed Sanu. And
he's, is that a fire truck?
He's a fire truck because he's a low. He's a big, big-bodied receiver. And the thing that goes untalked about or that isn't talked about enough about Mohamed Sanu is his route-running ability. He gets in and out of those breaks to be that big and that strong. He gets in and out of those breaks as fast as any little guy as well out there running routes. And what's really going to help them is having his availability in the green zone, having that big body for Tom Brady to throw the ball up to in any area. The catch radius is huge. He can go up and get it. He can run those intermediate routes. He can run those third and short situations when you absolutely need those yards. He can be that guy for you. And obviously, replacing Josh Gordon. Unnecessary roughness. Get out of here.
All I'm saying is Sanu is going to be the piece that Josh Gordon was. So he's going to come in because who's their slot receiver? The Patriots slot receiver? Who's that? Number 11, Julian Edelman? He's the number one. He's their guy. He's their target.
Remember him?
He's the piece to help Julian open up the middle of the field.
Absolutely. Which, so hence why I'm saying
that's why I think
zone.
Sanders is going to be more impactful, because he's going to be the guy that's going to be the Julian Edelman running those routes, trying to get him the ball. Jimmy Garoppolo trying to force the ball to Emmanuel Sanders, because they need a guy like that. The Patriots, they need a big body guy to open up the middle of the field, run vertical routes, open it up for the snag, for the over routes, for all that stuff that Julian likes to run. Sorry about the flag to the mouth.
It's all good. It's all good.
His name's a little off since you said. Listen, what's interesting is that both these teams are 6-0, both have quarterbacks playing well, and both opted for help at the wide receiver position. So it's curious. There were a lot of similarities in this situation.
I just want to say, having covered Emmanuel Sanders since he first came into the league, I don't think there's anybody more graceful, you know, present company excluded, when you used to play, you know, whatever. When they catch the ball, I just want to give him shouts to the way he glides. You know, it is just so pretty. So I just got to give him shouts for being
absolutely
pretty when he catches the ball. He's also, you know, catching the ball, I understand, from Garoppolo. But this one here is catching the ball
from who?
From the GOAT.
Yeah, talk about it.
And I did talk to him on the phone. Couldn't be more excited to transition from Atlanta, get a fresh start
don't
now
you
in
think?
New England. So therefore, I'm going to go here. But, man, no, nobody. I mean,
that's traveling.
You're putting great in. Listen, don't knock yourself.
That's true. Gets a little cold in Fox.
You've been busy.
A little chilly. Weather.
Yeah, well,
a little
chilly.
It's reunion Thursday for the Redskins and Vikings tonight. Adrian Peterson, Kirk Cousins, and Case Keenum all facing their former teams. Peterson spent 10 years in Minnesota. Now he'll face off against the Vikings for the second time in his career. He's the Vikings' all-time leader in rushing yards and second in touchdowns, only trailing Hall of Famer Chris Carter. It is the second reunion game for Peterson in Minnesota. He was there in 2017 as a Saint. Peterson was asked earlier in the week if there's any extra motivation playing his old team in Minnesota.
If it was any other team, I'd be just as motivated. Maybe not as much. But I'd still be trying to get out there to play. But, you know, of course I want to play against Minnesota. You know, I was there for 10 years. You know, 98% of the guys on the defense, I played with those guys. So it's going to be exciting to get out there and compete against those guys for more borders.
Case Keenum spent one season in Minnesota where he went 11-3. He took the Vikings all the way to the NFC title game thanks to this play. It was the Minnesota Miracle. Case Keenum's now former Vikings teammates reacting.
It's not my girlfriend or nothing. when I see him, it's all love, though, especially something as I guess that was a moment we all shared, you know, especially me and him. He gave me opportunity, and I'm thankful for it. But that's my guy still, you know, it's all love.
I hope he doesn't have any miracles on Thursday, that's for sure. Would not be good if Case is on the other end of a miracle on Thursday.
And then there's Kirk Cousins facing the Redskins for the first time since he was allowed to walk as a free agent a few seasons ago. Cousins threw for 4,000-plus yards in the three seasons prior to his departure from the nation's capital. Here's his take on facing his former team.
Honestly, for me, you know, when I think of my time in Washington, I just think of the word gratitude. You know, I'm so grateful that I was drafted by them. You know, when 31 other teams hadn't picked me, the Redskins picked me. So that means a great deal to me, and I just have tremendous memories of the games there and the teammates and the coaches, and I'm so grateful for the people I got to work with, and you know, the quarterback I am, the player I am, and where I am in this league now is largely as a result of the coaches I got to play for there and the way they impacted me, and then the teammates I got to play with. So in a way, you know, it's challenging to play your old team because you have so much respect for the people you know, on the other side of the field. But that's what Thursday night calls for, and so that's what we're going to do.
With that, we say hello to Jeremy Fowler, who is in Minneapolis. And what's interesting is that it's been really a tale of two seasons already for Kirk Cousins. Jeremy, after a rough start, he's really been playing lights out the last 3 weeks. What's been the biggest difference?
Well, Wendy, it turns out Cousins has set a serious tone with his work ethic. I spoke with offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski. He took me back to week 5 when the sky was falling. They had one of their worst losses against Chicago. Receivers were grumpy. Cousins wasn't playing well. He said that Monday of New York Giants week, he saw Cousins and the quarterback's coach pouring over game film. He knew at that point, we are going to be just fine. The Cousins is what he calls a pro's pro. And teammates had his back. I spoke with safety Anthony Harris. He said that he saw all the social media ripping of Cousins. He didn't like it. He said, that's my guy. You need to lay the pressure off him, and he's going to produce in a big way. And he's done so the last 3 weeks, 900-plus yards, 10 passing touchdowns. They're getting it done with the play action, Wendy. That's what they want to do tonight. Stefanski told me this is not a one-man show. And so Cousins, on more than a third of his dropbacks, he's throwing off of play action. So they want Dalvin Cook and that big offensive line that's finally healthy to get it done. And they know they need serious yardage tonight because they believe Washington can play despite their record. I spoke with Redskins wide receiver Terry McLaurin. He told me that, hey, we're a pretty good offense when we're not turning the ball over. And of course, I asked him about Adrian Peterson's return to his home turf. I joked, is he going to get 30 carries or 40 carries tonight based off his ammunition for the big game? He said probably somewhere in between.
Fair enough, Jeremy. Thank you. And it's certainly not a one-man show, but that one man, Kirk Cousins, is clearly been playing well. After starting the season 2-2 and only throwing 3 touchdowns, he found a new level to his game these past 3 weeks, completing 76% of his passes and his 10 touchdowns, the most in the league. Time now for Cup of Joe. We're not going to talk about that right this minute because we are going to talk about the Cleveland Browns. They've really been inconsistent, I think, would be the word, and now they face That's as nice as I can do right now. Listen, against the most dominant defense in the league, so they've got to game plan for New England. What are they telling you?
Well, here's the interesting thing, Wendy. I talked to a Brown source last night, and I said to them, how is this team feeling after watching the Patriots, the team that you're about to face, just trounce the Jets on national television? And the Brown source said to me, we actually feel more confident after watching the game film and going over the first 9 plays. And they said, here's why. On the first play, you can see Le'Veon Bell actually runs right into the traffic. Wendy, they said if Le'Veon Bell had just cut that out left, that they would have gotten more yards on that play. And on this play right here, the interception by Devin McCourty, if the right guard had just shaded inside and not gone to the outside, that would not have also caused that play. And then lastly, those plays were going so quickly right there on that third play. They really felt like when the Jets left the huddle that they should have known that Ryan Khalil could not have taken on Danny Shelton when he's shading him. It obviously would have been better if it was at a zero technique. So basically saying that Le'Veon Bell knew when he left the huddle that that play was going to blow up. So essentially they're saying they actually feel like the Jets had a good plan. They just had players who didn't make their reads. And also there were some, you know, coaching errors, but they could see what they were trying to execute, and it makes them feel better about their coaching plan.
Okay, they say that now. We'll see. Colts are 4-2. They lead the AFC South, and to me, they're one of the most intriguing situations this year because they had their franchise quarterback retire. You know, really at the outset of the season, Jacoby Brissett steps in and they don't miss a beat. Why is that?
Well, I just spoke to Colts offensive lineman Anthony Costanzo just literally an hour ago, and I said to him, why is this team able to hold down the fort even without Andrew Luck? And one of the reasons he cited was the head coach Frank Reich just basically saying the first thing out of his mouth was he is completely honest with us. He always tells us what's going on. Players are never in the dark, and they get a complete explanation and really underline why that was just important to the players. The next thing that he said is that Reich is really good at reading the pulse of the team, where they are with their energy level. So if they need to come in 30 minutes later, he lets the players come in 30 minutes later. Or typically on Wednesday, that's the installation day where the team really does a lot of their game planning. He said sometimes they'll have a walkthrough that day if he's just reading the team coming off of a victory on the road. So that's really good. And then lastly, he just said about Jacoby Brissett, who obviously has just done really well, just had a 4-touchdown, 0-interception game against the Texans and Deshaun Watson. He said this guy has never fazed, always smiling. And in practice, even when he's throwing touchdowns, he's the first one to run up to somebody, give them a chest bump, and really feel and make everyone feel like they're included and just a natural leader, very easy to follow.
It has been a good situation. And let's not forget that Frank Reich, not the first choice. That's not who was supposed to be in Indianapolis and things.
And yet working so well.
Finally, you know, you spoke to Chris Harris.
I did.
And the Broncos have to try and make sense of that bad loss to the Chiefs. What's he saying?
Well, I talked to Chris Harris and I said, yeah, that was a really bad loss Thursday Night Football. Basically what happened there, and he said, look, everybody has to play better, but he did admit that the offensive line is also not helping Joe Flacco. So many people on Twitter got on Joe Flacco, what have you, and I said, man, what was up with his facial expressions? He looked like he didn't want to be there sometimes. And he said, listen, that's just how Joe Flacco looks. He barely talks. The only time you hear him speak is in the huddle. So he said, we're just used to that with Joe. Matter of fact, he even bailed out Joe Flacco by saying the defense actually lost it for Joe Flacco in the games against the Jaguars and the Bears. Harris having those two roughing the penalties calls and feel like it was the defense's fault or what have you. And then I said, Chris, please tell me, what happened when the backup came in for the Chiefs, Matt Moore? Y'all still didn't get it done. And he said, you know what? That wasn't Matt Moore out there. That was Andy Reid's play calls out there.
Well, there's something to be said for that.
We were still playing Andy Reid. So he said, I don't care what nobody said. But he did say, I don't think they beat the Packers without Patrick Mahomes. And lastly, they do have the Colts up next. And he just reminded everyone that he's had excellent games against T.Y. Hilton and feels like that will continue when they next play.
All right. Nice work. New on NFL Live from our Bengals reporter, Ben Baby. A.J. Green did not go full of practice today. He is not expected to play in London. This is according to Bengals coach Zach Taylor. And then from our Packers reporter, Rob Domofsky, Devontae Adams inside today after stretching. That's for the second straight day. It's more than he's done since his turf toe injury back in September. But is it enough to get him to play Sunday night at Kansas City? Also, Kerry Lindsley not on the field. He was not on yesterday's injury report. Following the addition, the trade for Mohamed Sanu earlier in the week, the Patriots placed Josh Gordon on IR. He was playing through a left knee injury, re-injured at week six against the Giants. Sources tell us the IR move caught some by surprise, possibly even Gordon himself. And he responded to an Instagram post on the news with the word interesting. As for Tom Brady's future, that's been discussed all week. On today's Get Up, Adam Schefter walked through the possibilities available to Brady this offseason. And Brady himself gave an update as to his state of mind heading into the offseason on WEEI earlier in the week.
I think that's the great part for me is I don't know. And I think that's been a unique situation that, you know, I've been in, because I think when you commit to a team, you know, for a certain amount of years, you kind of feel like your responsibility is to always fulfill the contract. It's been good because I'm just taking it day by day and I'm enjoying what I have, and I don't know what the future holds. And the great part is, for me, football at this point is all borrowed time. I never expected to play 20 years, and I'm playing on a great team, and, you know, it's just been a incredible 20 years of my life.
I would just say, look, there are three options, right? He's either staying in New England, he's retiring, or he's going to go play somewhere else. I would think of those three. That staying in New England, to me, would seem like the least likely option of the three. But we'll see.
The least likely option of the three.
I think you could go any which way. I think all three are in play. But I think it would be more likely that he would retire or even perhaps move on than it would be to stay in New England. We'll see.
Wow, it's an interesting dynamic. And I said this, and I meant it, Steve. An interesting perspective in your case, because you had the opportunity to extend your career with the Broncos after 13 seasons with the 49ers, and you said, no thanks, I'm not going to do that. So why, and do you think Tom Brady will face that same kind of decision?
I felt like the 49ers had done so much for me. For me, Wendy, it felt like I needed to retire a 49er. I couldn't see myself putting on another jersey. I was going to retire in the locker room. It had been the place where I was became a man in the NFL and all the success I had. So that was just in my head. I said the same thing to Jerry Rice at the same time. And Jerry, let's go out together. And he looked at me like I was nuts. You know, he went on to play in Oakland and Seattle and Denver. And the truth is, over time now, as I look back, you know, it's still super important to me. But I can also recognize that going somewhere else is not going to hurt your legacy. It's not going to cause you any grief. I mean, Joe Namath went to San Diego and... I mean, this stuff for others is not that big of a deal. And so I suspect for Tom, as he tries to decide what to do at 42, retirement's always on the table, right? And he sees it as borrowed time. And there might be a piece of him that says, you know what, that's all I've known in New England, and I just want to know something else on the way out the door. And he probably has the right to do that. So I no one will know. You know, Tom, you're not going to get an inch from him. But I suspect that Adam Schefter is reporting things because there's smoke. And where there's smoke, there might be fire. And it would be interesting to see. You know, I'm sure Tom would – the dream would be to come back and play for the 49ers, I'm sure, where he grew up down the street in Sarah High School. And that would be the poignant end to an incredible career. There's no question.
Yeah, there is no question. I could see it. And I also think you're right. It's such a personal decision. It's different for everybody, Rob. And you spent 8 years there in New England. You know how that organization works. Everybody's created equal, which can sometimes ruffle feathers. How do you think this plays out?
Well, Steve, like you were saying, everyone's career is different. And you go through such a wide range of emotions, especially after your 10th year. For me, after my 10th year, I was in bonus time. So I can remember telling myself, I'm just going to take this 1 year at a time. And there's so many things that can happen to you throughout just a season that could affect, do I want to retire? Do I want to keep playing? And look, you heard Tom say, I'm taking it one day at a time. I'm enjoying my time in my 20th season. Every single player's career is different. You know, for me as a linebacker, I couldn't play 20 years. You just can't do it. It's not great for you. So everybody has a different experience, and everybody has to come to the conclusion of how does my career want to end. And it's not an easy choice. Nobody has the right answers. But like Steve was saying, he wanted to end his career with the same team that he had all the success with.
Yeah, I feel emotion even talking about it. And it's not, you know, I haven't played in the NFL. It's just, it's fascinating to me. Steve, thanks for joining us. Thanks for the perspective.
You're right, Wendy.
We'll see you back next week. We should tell you this as well. This is also new on NFL Live this afternoon. Patrick Mahomes was second among the four quarterbacks during individual drills today. This is from Adam Teicher, and it looked like he was moving around better. The Chiefs have yet to make a decision about the starting quarterback for the weekend. We'll continue to watch this. It's time for Making Smarter Decisions, informed by IBM Watson. Vikings wide receiver Stephon Diggs has been on a tear, over 100 yards in each of his last two games. For tonight's game against Washington, Watson gives him a ceiling of 22.5, but he also has a floor of 7.9. All right. Thursday. You know what that means? Well,
we made it.
Come on. We made it. All right, Steve Young is going to kick us off. Steve, who you got tonight?
Tonight, I picked the Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins seemed to be too careful and had to have his teammates scream at him to kind of wake him up. And now he's been expansive, and I think the whole team has been more expansive. I suspect 35-13 tonight.
Oof, not only a win big. JoJo.
Big win.
I want to acknowledge that the Redskins are playing better in the last two games. Realize they were just within a field goal of, tying up against the 49. But in this game, I am going to go with the Vikings 24-13 over the Washington Redskins.
And I feel pretty good because my prediction is the same as Steve's. And he's a pretty good mind, right?
Great
mind.
Yeah, he's alike. Smart.
This is correct.
I'm going Vikings 35-13.
Ooh, almost got the score the same.
That's what I said.
Really?
Same
score.
That's what he picked. Come on, that's what I'm saying.
Look, everybody's here smart. Everybody's here smart. I'm going with the Vikings as well. I'm going with them 28-10, though, because of Kirk Cousins and Stephon Diggs.
Listen, you know, upsets happen every day, right?
Are you going against the grain on this, Wendy?
No.
Okay, good.
Come on.
They do happen every day, but they're not going to happen tonight. I just don't see it. It's a clean sweep. We'll see.